We are joined by the general manager of the Buffalo Bills, Brandon Bean, and we start with, what time did you go to bed on New Year's Eve?
Did you ring it in?
Maybe 2 minutes after you went to bed, probably.
Oh, you didn't see the ring?
No. No, I was done. I went to dinner. My parents were in town, and so we took them to dinner because they were flying out the next morning.
Yeah.
So
no, they didn't ring it in. Right?
No, I don't think anybody in my house ringed it in.
Right. Yeah. I think that's passe. I don't think anybody does it anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah, nobody, right?
I had to come to work the next day.
6 million people standing in the rain
in
Times Square.
If I didn't have to work the next day, I might have had a few more libations.
We didn't have to work.
I didn't have to work.
Yeah, that's
Brandon,
good.
Thanks for coming in, Brandon. We got a lot of ground to cover. He's going to be with us for about the next 20, 25 minutes or so. And we appreciate you coming in, starting off the new year with a fresh slate. But we're going to spend a little time talking about 2018. And let's start. I have a feeling, don't let me speak for you. I know you won't. But I think at some point last spring, maybe after the draft, you thought to yourself, okay, we got a rookie quarterback. Our goal is to get him to play, win as much as we can, and get him to play and get him indoctrinated in the NFL. Season's over. You have to look back and say, we did that. We accomplished kind of what we were looking to do. Yes? No?
Yeah, 100%. Somebody brought that up at the press conference a couple of days ago, and we didn't go in and say Josh has to play 3 games, 5 games, 16, whatever. We just said we'll know when he's ready, and we didn't want to rush it. Did it happen a little quicker than we anticipated? Yes, but in the end, I think it helped speed up. You know, there's nothing you can do to give him those reps that he got starting, you know, at the end of the Baltimore game and then, right. You know, the Chargers.
So just let me ask you this. I mean, because I talk to Bills fans wherever I go, and Jim Murph and I talk about it every day. You really got to feel good about the guy you drafted. I know there was all those question marks about all 5 of those guys who were available, and certainly Baker Mayfield and Sam and the other Josh, and certainly Lamar Jackson, they're all having good years, and it looks like they're off and running. But you got to be rubbing your hands together saying, man, we like the guy we got. I mean, he looks like he's all of it.
Yeah, I mean, I go back to what I said the initial day. This guy is Buffalo, and I think the more Josh's personality and the more times he was behind the microphone and the more times he got up after a big run and pumped his fist and you know, you either got that in your DNA or you don't. And he is blue-collar all the way. Beyond the talent on the field, he really fits this town, this culture, and where we're heading.
I was telling Murph, obviously, you know, you stand around the guy. People who haven't seen him in person, he's a big dude. And he's got all that arm and he's got all those legs. You know, he runs it and all that. Okay, so there's that. But there's a couple other things that I saw. One, he seems to be really sharp. And 2, from coming out of talking to Sean and some of the other players, he's really got his nose to the grindstone. He's working hard at it. So he's physically talented, he's really intelligent, and he's working really hard. And then, you know, Murph and I talk, he wants to win the whole world on every play. I mean, he's got that competitive thing. So you got those 4 things going for him. You got to feel optimistic about how far he could go even in this offseason.
Most definitely. You know, that was part of what these quarterback trips that we did last spring. You know, at this point last year, I'd only seen these guys on film and live. I'd never got to talk to them the first time. So that's what was so important, is getting to know what's in the core, what's in the, you know, what's in the heart, what's in the soul, what's in the brain. And what you started out with, Josh is very smart. He picked up our, you know, our offense, and Brian runs a complex offense. He picked it up well and continued to grow and get more comfortable, you know, every game, every rep. But we like where he's at. He's by no means satisfied, nor are we. And that's what's exciting about where we're heading. And I know we went through a whole plan the other day of what he's going to do from the time he leaves here and goes back to California to when he's coming back. And he's already talking about when he's going to get some of the young receivers together, and they're going to throw the ball here and there. And it's exciting. That's the leadership part of it, that he wants to get back with our guys so fast once he kind of recovers.
But Brandon Bean, the Bills general manager in studio with us, I've never scouted Brandon, but it seems to me that would be the most difficult part, trying to figure out how hard is this guy going to work? How badly does he want it? How competitive is he? You can look at stats and video. You can probably drive yourself crazy looking at video. But you can't tell some of those things, can you? At least not at first look.
No, I mean, that's where you go back into the analytics stuff and all the people that were smashing Josh in the spring about his completion percentage and this and that. Those things don't measure grit, toughs, leadership. You know, he had some great fourth quarter drives. Some of them we didn't finish as a team, you know, on different sides of the ball. But we could have won a couple more games that he led us to either tie the game or at one point got us the lead in the fourth quarter, and we weren't able to close it. You can't measure that stuff in just stats. And I say this all the time. How many plays did he that would have been a sack that he got out of it and had to throw the ball away? So he hurt his completion percentage, but he got us to second and 10 instead of second and 16 or something like that. Those are the things that if you don't watch Josh play every play, you miss by just looking at the box score.
I was telling Murph, and some of the things you got to be a little bit, every team does it. You kind of wring your hands over the fact that now, okay, you found out about some guys, Josh being one of them. Robert Foster being another one, Levi Wallace, Taron Johnson, these young players that got a chance to get thrown in and said, you know, and it's like, wow, we got some guy. You know, we found some nuggets here. You got to wring your hands a little bit over this first off season where these guys go back to wherever it is they are. They got money in their pocket. They got free time. They got a little notoriety. They played pretty well in the NFL. You got to think, how much did you talk to these young guys about keeping it between the lines in the off season? That's something every team faces.
We did. Sean made mention of it at our last meeting to the whole team, and then he and I and a couple of our other sports performance people met with each of the first and second year players, and we talked about where they're at in their journey, and specifically the guys who were rookies heading into their first offseason. We told them, listen, you've been through a long grind because as soon as your college season was over, you were preparing for the combine or playing in the Senior Bowl. We had a lot of guys that played in the Senior Bowl. So you're preparing for that. Then you're going to Florida or Arizona to go train. And then you went on the interview circuit, the tour, and then you got drafted, and then we brought you right in. These guys have had a long one. So we're like, this is the first time you're going to have free time. You can't get stale. You can't think you got it all figured out. People now have film on you. They are going to study you. They're going to watch what you do well, and they're going to watch what you don't do well. You're going to have to work on the things that you don't do well, or you're going to get exposed in year two.
Hey, Brandon, in the last week and a half or so, you have taken steps to kind of shore up the whole quarterback room by re-signing Barkley and re-signing Derek Anderson. What role did you see that those two have played, and what role do you expect them to play in future development for Josh Allen?
Yeah, you know, you can put in different rooms, you can put different blends, and you know, there's all different talents and all different walks of life. The blend in that room, led by Daboll, and then what DA brought, Barkley, you know, came in midseason and was really a guy I have never gotten to know. I knew DA, and he had his own personality, his own way, and he brought a unique part to that, a unique bond to that room. And those three were able to really grow each other. And, you know, those two, the thing I really liked about Matt's a lot younger than D.A. He still wants to play. Not that D.A. doesn't, but D.A. understands where he's at, you know, in his, you know, NFL perspective. But I think Matt really came in here and he said, you know what, I do want to play and all those things, but I want to be the best backup I can be, and I want to watch 17. I want to make him the best I can. And those guys, I know they were, you know, giving him a hard time. Hey, you should have checked down this and that, and sometimes saying, mm-hmm. Hey, if you don't do that, you owe me $100 or something like that. Just
right.
All in it for him. And, you know, that was really neat to see that room as DA and Matt came in to both support Josh.
Barkley's game against the Jets, I'm guessing, probably was the most fun he's had ever in the NFL. And maybe kind of rejuvenated his approach. Like, hey, this could happen. This could happen again. And you must have thought the same when you saw the way he played against New York.
Yeah, I mean, listen, the way Josh plays, he could get nicked up. I mean, he plays physical. He's big and all that stuff. And he takes some hits. And he did improve. You know, that was one of the things I got on to him. And I know a couple other people did in similar seats to mine that, listen, you got to be smart. You know, when you run, we do want that element because it's a nightmare for D coordinators when they know you can run like that, but you got to know when to get down. But with all that said, you do get nicked up once in a while, and it's important to have a backup. And I thought Matt proved his worth that he can come in here and run this offense in such short time. And I saw confidence in him even growing as he was in practice, as he was running our scout team.
Can I get one more Josh question in before we move on? I know you got other questions.
No, I've got another one too. Go ahead.
All right. What do you want to see from Josh? What are you looking for next year and maybe changes in his game or his approach to the game?
Yeah, I think you just want to see him continue to work on, you know, sometimes, he missed the what I call the layup sometimes. He either rushed it, and maybe the check down. You know, there were some times where Josh is – he believes in himself, and what makes him so good, that belief in himself, sometimes will cost him on some throws. He's trying to force it in a tight window that he can make a lot of times, but sometimes when it's third and five, just take that little. He did that twice this week.
I was going to say, he seemed to do a little bit more this past week.
He did it this past week. I want to continue to see him do that when it's there, and he will. The comfort level of seeing things, it still happens fast, and I think sometimes you probably get back there and go, I can make that throw, and you forget you got this guy over here that's wide open that can pick up 8 yards. We move the sticks. We get back to first down. Those are a couple things, and you know he'll continue to work on his mechanics, as all guys do, just to tighten up all the throws and things like that. But I think Josh definitely understands where he's at and what he's got to work on.
One of the things about this season was it was a little bit of an evolution. You had a couple of position groups that kind of evolved, the offensive line, the wide receivers, and I think the quarterback room too. And it took a while to get the quarterback room just like you wanted to, because you had some unexpected things happen. I think Nate Peterman being a practice guy, not a game guy, then the injuries as well when you got guys back in there, and then also finding the right mix and going out and finding a guy like Derek Anderson. So it took a while. Plus, like the wide receivers, you finally cleared the deck at that point in the season and put some speed in the lineup. You know, is there a regret maybe that the quarterback room took a little bit of time to find and you got blindsided a little bit?
100%. You know, we were trying to put – we knew coming in that Nathan was coming back. We had made the decision to trade Tyrod to Cleveland.
Right.
And so, you know, before the draft, we really had one legit quarterback here with Nate, and then as we entered free agency. And, you know, there was different guys out there in free agency. We went and we thought AJ was a guy that could come in and compete and potentially win that job. He had shown that he had played, even some playoff snaps for Cincinnati. And then we knew we were going to try and draft somebody, hopefully, get up. At that time, we were still 21 and worked our way to 12 and then to 7 to get Josh. But, I've said it, I don't know how I could have done it much different than to have a three-person quarterback battle. It's not ideal. I wish it wouldn't have played out that way, and I regret not getting Derek Anderson in here earlier. He was a guy that we talked about whether to sign him or sign AJ, but just really was trying to bet on AJ on the come. And listen, he did everything he could. He competed hard. Sometimes it works. Sometimes it doesn't. But once you know it doesn't work, you got to move on. And so getting DA here when we did, I was glad. Again, it was my error for not getting him here earlier. And the thing I'm excited about, Steve, is that we go into this offseason and Josh is the number one. We don't have any debate. That's right. I sleep better at night.
You're not going to share any reps in this camp.
Yeah, I sleep better at night now. No one, right? We got that.
We're with Brandon Bean, the Bills general manager. Other parts of the roster to talk about. The other first rounder, Tremaine Edmonds. Stat came out we were talking about today. Tremaine Edmonds, Bills rookie linebacker, with 15 starts, by the way, which is really good. But the only player in the league with 120 or more tackles, 10 or more pass breakups, 2 sacks, 2 interceptions, 2 forced fumbles. So not only is he out there calling your defense, relaying the signals, he's making plays. And he seemed to be on an upward trajectory, almost like Josh Allen at sometimes.
Yeah, you know, there were various times where he really played fast. And I think there were some times where maybe he was drinking out of a fire hose. And it happened at different times. It was so fun on Sunday to watch him pull the trigger almost every play faster than he had pulled it all year. It was like, you know, and I think that happens. You know, the light just comes on at different times, and I think it was on for a lot of the year. But there are some things that got him. People played him, and you know, I remember one of the things I really thought he improved on. If you remember the Charger game, they really took advantage of him with Keenan Allen, who is really good inside, super quick, crafty, instinctive, and you know, Phillip Rivers got him. You know, on a few of those, they knew what they were doing. And Tremaine was still working on understanding what routes they're running in there. That just comes with time and experience. And again, like Josh, we can show him that on film, but until he goes and plays those snaps and sees how teams will do it, you can't teach him. And this last game, just watching him from, you know, all the unassisted tackles he made, that rush against Kenyon Drake was an excellent rush to get the sack. And then the one-handed pick, you know, you can't teach that stuff.
No, he's long arms. You can come and get it.
6'4" plus.
He's a power forward. I mean, he's big.
So, and he's 20.
Right.
he's still growing, and he's going to come back just like Josh. He doesn't. he is not content. If there's anybody that's not content, Tremaine Edmonds fits that bill. And again, that was part of the DNA. He was one of our 30 visits that we brought in here and got to know. And I'll never forget where I met him. I met him walking into the calf, and literally I thought he was going to hit his head on that door. You know, so big. Yeah, yeah. I was like, wow, that's a big man.
One of the other things about – you got a 20-year-old who's in the heart of your defense. Your defense was number 2 overall in the league this year, which is, you know, really speaks well for the future and where it could go. But you also found out about a bunch of other young guys, Robert Foster, Taron Johnson, yeah. Levi Wallace, who Levi Wallace is – what was it, Murray? He's like –
Pro Football Focus had him in the number 1 ranked rookie corner. Did you see that?
Yeah.
In the league?
Yeah.
They're grading.
I mean, you've got some guys – and along with Tremaine and Josh
Harrison Phillips,
yeah. Kroom, guys who have, you know, we didn't know about before the season started, and all of a sudden they look like, you know, you can kind of etch them in stone on the roster at least, yeah. if not having significant roles.
Yeah, I mean, we're going to try and bring in competition for these guys, but they came in and played, and the thing that you always want to find out about young guys, is it too big for them?
Right.
And I think maybe Robert immediately in the season, it was a little bit big for him. And that's one of the things I'm so proud of, and that Dayball and Sean and I both, you know, all three of us just told him in the year, listen, that chip that you had after we released you and you came back and you were determined to prove that you were worthy of a 53-man spot, keep that chip. Keep doing it. And he will. He's such a great kid. I don't even think he's – I think he's going to basically live up here most of the offseason. He just – he wants to be around and continue to – you know, to get stronger and faster, and I know he's going to be in here trying to watch film.
Huh. I wonder, did you expect to get that kind of contributions from undrafted rookies like Robert Foster, like Levi Wallace? That's found money most of the time, right, when an undrafted rookie can play that prominent a role in either one of their cases, or even a drafted rookie like Taron Johnson steps in and becomes almost an indispensable part of your defense at the nickel there.
Yeah, I mean, in the personnel department, we strive to find guys from different areas, and you know, some guys fall through for various reasons at the school. Maybe they weren't a great fit. Maybe there was a young guy that, you know, overtook them and the coaches liked them more, or new staff came in and you weren't part of the regime that recruited you. There's various reasons why guys fall through. And that's our job, is to find out the guys that have ability. And, you know, Robert was a 5-star coming out of high school, and there was various reasons why he fell out of favor or just didn't have the production. But at the end of the day, good teams find, you know, these types of nuggets, because it was very important for us with all this dead cap money to be able to spend prudently so that we could find talent. And we really recruited our butts off. The coaches did a great job, you know, by position at these guys, helping recruit what the opportunity was. And our scouts in those areas did a great job of identifying to me and my staff of this is a guy we really got to target if he doesn't get drafted.
So, you know, you've finished this season up. You found out about all these guys. You got some real promising young guys. And now, this offseason, as always, there's going to be some changes. I mean, there's already reports about tinkering with the staff. You got guys like Lorenzo Alexander, who you got to think about, who really gave you something maybe more than people thought he was going to give you. Lorenzo really had a nice year, particularly when Matt Milano went down. He stepped into the gap there, and of course, his leadership in the locker room. And I don't know if you knew this, free agency comes up in March. I don't know. Did you hear about it?
I heard about it. There's a memo out.
So, I mean, what's your priority list?
Yeah, well, you know, first of all, you have to know your roster. You got to understand, because you're right, every year there are expiring contracts, and we have, just like you will most seasons, you'll have a decent amount of guys that are up. Which guys are priorities to keep that you want to, you know, avoid losing and letting them go to free agency? And then which guys is it time to move on from? And is there anybody that's under contract? Once you do that, then you can start laying out where are the holes, where we got to fill, where do we have to target? And we want to try and fill as many of those, you know, before the draft, whether it's cap casualties prior to free agency or in free agency. And I said it the other day, we have to be judicious with – we do have cap. It is freeing, as I said Monday, to not have to worry about what we can spend. We can spend what we need to do to get the right players, but it's not spend just because we got the money.
The offseason always begins with coaching changes. A report out there today about Bills offensive line coach, running game coordinator Juan Castillo being relieved of his duties. Can you tell us anything about that?
Yeah, Sean, you know, decided that we wanted to make a change there. And at the end of the day, Juan's a good coach. Sometimes things just don't work out. I know he'll land on his feet, and it wasn't just him or anything like that. But we have to be honest with where we're at, and you know, I know that's an area that Juan wasn't happy with, nor were we, and we just decided to go in a different direction.
I was thinking about that and other over the last several months, actually, of all the decisions a head coach makes, that Sean McDermott makes, assembling the staff might be the most critical, right? It might be the most important thing he does.
It is. Having a good coaching staff can definitely. You have to have good players. You know,
that's your job.
That's my job, yeah. And I have to earn that, and I have to help, and I got to do a dang good job this offseason to fill some of these holes because of all the dead cap money we had. You know, I really appreciate what those guys did to get to 6-10. It was not easy with such young players because we had so many guys that Sean and his staff had to play that lacked experience, all the guys that Steve went through. And it's not easy, and it is hard, but coaching is big in this league. You can definitely win games. You saw what happened to the Rams from the previous year before Sean McVay got there, and they put a new staff in there, and they really overhauled that offense and have turned it around.
One more coaching question. You look around the league, 8 head coaching vacancies, various reasons for all of them. Some of them you say, okay, I get it. You know, Marvin Lewis has been there 16 years. Mike McCarthy has been there for a while. Other guys get 1 year, including Steve Wilks out in Arizona. You kind of scratch your head and say, what's the plan here? Where are these teams going?
Yeah, you know, Steve Wilks is a damn good coach. And that's a shame.
You knew him in Carolina, huh?
I worked with him well. He is head coaching material, and he should get another shot. I don't know what happened there. I can't speak on it to what happened, what went wrong in Arizona. But I know this. He's a damn good coach, and, you know, I wish he would have got more time to show him what he could do.
Let me ask you this. Does Sean know Steve Wilks as well?
Yes, he does.
Is there any chance of you reaching out to him and saying, hey, if you want a place to spend your time in the next 8 or 10 months?
Yeah, I mean, I think
– Buffalo's a nice place to live.
It is. I think you definitely do that. And but at the same time, you can't just try and force putting a square peg in a round hole. You know, Steve's got to look out for Steve as well. You're always good. You know, you always want to add good coaches, but he's got to make sure he puts himself in the best spot to get another chance. He should, and I have no doubt he will get another chance, and I can't wait till he proves people wrong.
All right. Well, my question is, you hold the 9th overall pick in the draft this year, and you've got all this money you're going to spend in free agency. Is the philosophy Murph and I were having this conversation. Do you fill in all the gaps you can in free agency so that you can take the best player available, even if, like, say, for instance, even if it's a quarterback or a corner, someplace where you feel like you're set? Do you get enough guys off the free agency or fill those holes so you can take the best player available no matter the position? Is that the philosophy?
It is. You will burn yourself in the long run if you don't take the best player available in the draft. So you cannot go in there and draft for need, and you want to try and fill as many holes as you can. You're rarely is a team going to say, all right, we're good walking in the draft. We got right. No needs. But especially early in the draft, it is important. There are some really good football players that can make impacts. And if you reach down, I mean, let's use last year. We started at 21, okay? I did not feel like before the draft that I was going to be able to get a quarterback to come in here of Josh's talent at 21. So if we had stayed there, quarterback was a need, right?
Right.
I'm not fooling anybody. But if I stay there at 21 and just take whoever the next quarterback was, we didn't feel there was a guy at value. That would have been taking for need. So what I felt we needed to do was get ourselves into range of the value to get a Josh Allen.
Right.
And I said, we're going to have to get in the top 10 if we're going to be able to select Josh. So that's what you have to do. You have to either get into range to fill that need. And that was obviously fell into Tremaine. I was not planning to trade it for Tremaine. I thought he was, I thought he would go earlier. And once he fell, it's like, listen, this is a need. Let's go up and get him too. And we fill two big needs, but we didn't reach for those guys. And now had Tremaine been drafted ahead of us and we said, well, at 22, we need a linebacker. We're just going to take whoever's next. And it was a guy in the second round. That would have been a mistake.
Based on your first draft here in Buffalo last year, it seems like you got 10 picks this year. You don't necessarily look at it like 10 picks, 10 players. you look at those as tools, it seems, right?
Yeah, it's currency is the way I call it.
Currency.
And it's to be able to move up and down to get guys where I think it's very good value. And again, we could, we're at 9, we could go back, we could go up. I think to pigeonhole yourself to say I'm not going to move or I'm only going to move up or I'm only going to move down, I don't think is smart. I think you see what's going on, where you can get guys, and you do. You are paying attention to need, but you want to, you know, if we're at 9 and we don't think there's a guy that is worthy of that pick, I need to look to move out of that pick and move down to gain more picks to get the value. What I don't want to do is sit there. That's when you look to get out.
Right.
Yeah. Before we let you go, we're a little nostalgic here on the show as we just, you know, just finished up the last year, 2018. We want to get you involved in our Twitter poll. Are you okay?
I don't have Twitter on my phone.
No, you can just talk.
We'll okay.
Talk. Yeah. The old-fashioned way.
All right.
And it's a simple question. We got fans in on this, too, on Twitter. What was the best moment of the 2018 Buffalo Bills season? Not talking about the best win, the best game, but the best moment. We have a couple of options for you. Was it, in fact, this past Sunday, Kyle Williams' final game? 67% of our respondents say that was it. Was it the brawl sparked by Leonard Fournette in the Jaguars game where you saw your team kind of come together and battle the Jaguars on the field? Was it the Monday Night Football Thurman Thomas halftime retirement ceremony? 12% of respondents say that. Was it something else? When you look back in 2018, Brandon, what do you think you'll remember most? What will you look back at with your fondest memory of 2018?
Well, if Kyle was in here with us, I wouldn't say him. hopefully he's not listening. But it's definitely Kyle. You know, I'm a big Kyle Williams fan. And, you know, you try not to get too close to players because of, you know, you need that separation from the seat I'm in. But I found myself trying to have lunch with him as often to ask about these young guys because he's around them, and there's times when maybe they're showing me or Sean they're really working hard, but maybe they're not.
Mm-hmm.
And he was a great resource for me just to, hey, this guy's really doing this well. You guys might want to remind him to do that. And to see him go out the way he did and stiff-arming that ball. You know what's crazy is if you look at that play, Charles Clay is wide open for a touchdown. Go back and watch it sometime. But Josh did the right thing with where the game was. But they totally forgot about Charles Clay. He was running a corner route, and he's waving his arms wide open. But Charles was so excited for Kyle and that stiff-arm he had.
Yeah.
I think everybody's hair stood up on the back of their neck when Kyle stiff-armed that guy and got a 9-yard gain.
It was perfect, the send-off for Kyle Sunday, wasn't it?
It was
in every
awesome.
Way.
It was awesome.
It was perfect. You don't get that often.
No. Nah.
Some guys never finish their final game.
Yeah, I've said that. I've said it 100 times. It rarely ends well for great ones.
Well, didn't end well for you because you got kicked out of your last game.
It could not have ended better for me, but it really couldn't have. But you know, you look around all the guys who you know it rarely ends well because what happens is they want to keep playing until they go out on a certain way, and it never happens for them, and they stick around too long. The team is forced to release them.
Yeah.
Even the guys, even the Hall of Famers, when the Bills released Bruce, Thurman, Andre, you know what? It happens. John Elway, I mean, he retired as a Bronco, but, you know, there's a lot of guys that done in well. It was great to see it end that way for Colin, and I applauded the organization for getting it right because it's not that easy.
It is hard, and you want to do the right thing. You don't want to do too much. You don't want to do too little. I thought it was nice. It was classy. I thought it was Kyle. You know, Kyle's not an over-the-top, look-at-me guy, and, you know, I think I mentioned it to one of the writers. He would have probably just been fine going out and playing the game and telling everybody when in his locker with his kids next to him, hey, guys, I'm done. Here's my gloves. Here's mm-hmm. my, you know, but we're like, Kyle, you gotta at least let the fans know.
Right.
And I thought the fans, I challenged them to come out. Told a couple of writers, write it, please come out. And this guy has earned it. If for nothing else, I know it's two non-playoff teams, but come watch this guy. And I think they got what they deserve.
Sure.
Other than I kept telling Dayball to give them the jet sweep like Isaiah McKenzie, but they never got that in.
Yeah, that would have been great.
Brandon, thanks for this. We know we'll see you down the line. We'll be there at the Senior Bowl and the Combine. We'll have chances to talk to you. But we thank you for coming in here today and kind of wrap it up 2018.
You got it. Happy New Year. Let's make 2019 big.